There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast, the podcast that does things that involve Dragon Con for like 50 days or something similar to that. Maybe there's going to be 50, maybe there's 40, I don't know. But the number of podcasts, we start at 50 days out, so that really that's where it goes. And then it comes back and then it says, hey Lee, how you doing?
I am good. How are you doing? Because you sound crazy.
I'm doing fine. I think by this time tomorrow, I will be even better. So
you are going to be awesome tomorrow by this time.
But I could also be still under the influence.
Oh, you know, you're still gonna be worked out. But.
Anesthesia or whatever it is. So anyway, enough about me.
And he's going to be fine, guys. Don't worry about him. He's fine. But yeah, he's going to be worked out tomorrow. And there are new guests today. We have new guests.
Ooh, who are the new guests?
We got Emma Caulfield. She played Anya on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I didn't mention this yesterday. He got announced on the 22nd. But James Gunn, the guy who co-wrote and directed Guardians of the Galaxy, is going to be at Dragon Con. Which I'm actually, excited. What?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow. I'm not kidding. He's listed on the site, and he got listed on the 22nd. And I'm really excited about this because, you know, I was really excited because I was talking about the Secret Avengers guy on the comics, but I'm really excited about this because I'm really excited about Guardians of the Galaxy because there is just so much neat stuff in Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, you got a talking raccoon and a tree.
Who's supposed to be, British, right?
He's supposed to be British. I was getting there, John. I was coming to a segue. And
right,
they travel around in a little ship, but there's
is it a
nobody.
Mini ship?
What
is it? A mini ship?
I think it is a kind of small ship, but of course it looks bigger on the inside. But it's not blue because one of the people's green, so they couldn't do blue. And I think one of the people might be blue. But you know what else? This is a crappy segue because you stopped me. But Caro from British Media is on today, and you screwed up my segue, John.
So Caro is a raccoon, is what we're saying.
No.
Oh no. Okay.
But that Caro by con might be Groot though, because she may only be able to say I am Caro by that time.
Pretty much.
I am Caro.
Well, at the end of Dragon Con, that's for sure. That's a given.
That's what all. Look, if any of us can find our way out of a track room at the end of Dragon Con, we're all patting ourselves on the back for that one, right, Caro?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yes. How are you? Let me see, because I'm on the page right now. We are at, as we record this, it's 36 days. So just a caveat, folks. Whatever guests we talk about, whatever panels we talk about is alternative, because stuff be changing every day. You guys heard from Rachel yesterday. Stuff be changing every day. So just be prepared. So yay, hi.
Hi.
Are you thinking how much of your stuff's going to change? What do you got? 10% down? What are you thinking?
Well, the past, I'd say 4 years, they've very nicely gifted me a guest like a couple of days, if not a week before the convention. So I've had issues where, like, the pocket program has come out, and everyone's like, yay, this is your programming, and then we've gotten, like, a doctor announced, and everything changes very, very quickly and suddenly. So I kind of just tell my people that BritTrack programming doesn't happen until you are sitting in the room, and we go, okay, is it time now? Can we actually start this panel?
That's it, man. Until your butt is in the seat and the panel is going. We all know what's going to happen. We do our best.
Pretty much. I mean, it's subject to change. Of course, there are plans laid in place and certain things that are remotely concrete, but still, you know, standing on sand just a little bit. But, you know, it should be good. We should have a really good year this year. It's going to be an exciting year for us because we have a different anniversary this year that's not Doctor Who related. So we're excited.
Oh, what anniversary
What's your
is
anniversary?
That?
Yeah.
This year is the 35th anniversary of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the release of the video game that came out. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's totally obscure and random, but the actual anniversary of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was last year. And since it was overshadowed by Doctor Who, the release of So Long Day for All the Fish, came out last, it would have been 30 years, since the release last year. So this year we're going to try to celebrate it in its own way with a party. So we're really excited about that.
Yay. Very cool.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It's on Friday night, tentatively scheduled for Friday night. And it's going to be, I think, in the Grand Ballroom at the Sheridan. So we're really excited. I'm actually really excited because I have two really cool ideas for the party that I don't mind sharing at all. But one of them is that we are going to do a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy costume contest. So basically, as stated in the flyer online that might be tossed around here and there, you need to bring your towel and you need to bring your pajamas and wear them. You must wear them. There will be no nudity, please.
And by the way, okay, yeah, but no nudity. And folks, even if you think a towel is not nudity, let me explain. I have actually seen the Atlanta police look at somebody who was only dressed in a towel and make them show that there was something under the towel. And he did.
Exactly.
Thank God. So,
But
if I don't have a towel, certainly someone would think that I do normally have a towel, so they would let me loan me a towel, right?
Yes, I hope so. So we're really excited that we're going to be doing the costume contest via Twitter. So it's going to be how many times can you get your picture taken and tweeted to our Twitter, account. So we'll have more information details for that on our website coming up soon. So you have to be, your photo has to be taken at the actual party over the course of the night. So if you'll win a prize and we'll have varying categories and we'll mail you your prize after the convention. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing this year. We're also doing, I'm really excited about this, we're going to do a towel folding competition during the party.
If you can make the Sydney, so is it the Sydney Opera House or is it the Swan?
Basically, it's how many towels can you fold in a standard fold? It's in a minute. And we're going to have a large board that you put your name on it and you rank. And then the top three folders at a certain time will be announced and they will come up on stage and they will do a fold off on the table. Up front on stage. So that'll last about 2 minutes in the middle of the party. And then the winners will hopefully win. I'm trying to get, but definitely we'll have a very nice surprise that is related to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and that'll be announced later on once I get confirmation on it. But it's really cool, the prizes. So it'll be a lot of fun and silly, but kind of like your old state fair kind of competition.
All prizes are fun because you won a prize, even if it's a cookie. Prizes are cool.
Exactly.
Prizes are cool. So cool. And so what else? I mean, what else are you looking at? I mean, of course, you've got a new doctor. I'm sure there'll be lots of talking and it'll have just started. There'll be at least one or two episodes in. So I know you'll be talking about that, but you're British media. So we're not going to just talk Doctor Who and Torchwood and stuff like that. What else are you going to, what other shows are the big things that you're looking at?
Well, we've got a really big docket. The Brit track is considered a pop culture and media track. So we cover anything that comes out of Britain. So we have panels from how to travel to the United Kingdom and how to get there and then, see the things that you want to see as a geek in the UK. So that's one panel all the way to, TV shows and literature and things that you wouldn't think that were relevant, but really are. Like, we have our Top Gear panel this year. We're doing, we're going to be doing different shows that are currently airing or that are really popular. For example, some of our shows last year had a farewell. For example, like Being Human ended last year, as well as Merlin last year. But the creators of Merlin have written a show called Atlantis, so we'll be doing a panel on that. We're also doing the very popular Broadchurch. We're picking up and doing Misfits because it's ended its final season. So we'll have a Misfits panel. Red Dwarf. I didn't know if you know this, but Shaun of the Dead is celebrating 10 years. Been around for a decade. So,
wow. That's hard.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's kind of crazy, actually. Huh. And so we're going to be doing a panel for that. Monty Python, we're really excited. We're doing something a little bit different this year. We're actually going to be doing a sing-along with a whole like karaoke setup for the Monty Python panel. So that's going to be a lot of fun if you're a Python fan. And if anyone has seen the new Mostly Live, it was awesome. I went to it myself. It was a lot of fun. We're also doing... The young ones, Rick Mail passed away this past year, one of the young ones, so we're going to do a tribute to him. It's really sad. We have Ripper Street, a costuming panel. We're doing Downton Abbey, Orphan Black, IT Crowd, Crime Shows, and Doctor Who, Britpop, which is the needcoffee.com folks are so wonderful. They come over. They do a few panels for us also. They do one where they analyze Sherlock, another one where they analyze Doctor Who, and then they also host our Britpop music panel. So it's all about music that you can find in the UK that's worth listening to. We also have our British Audios panel. We're doing the Musketeers, and then of course the staples, Doctor Who, Sherlock, Terry Gilliam. We're going to be doing this year because his new movie is coming out, so we'll do a Terry Gilliam panel. Yeah. So we're really excited about some of the stuff that's on the horizons for us. The biggest change that we have this year, besides the fact that, you know, we are doing an anniversary party, and I know a lot of people enjoyed the Doctor Who anniversary party, but really the major thing that's different is that we are doing a different anniversary. That was a one-off kind of deal because it was for the 50th. But we will be doing anniversary parties every year. There is one. With, you know, hopefully next year I can take a break because working two parties, two nights back to back is kind of tough on me. And then also we've got a big, major, major change to our late night programming. Mm-hmm. So in the past we've done video programming until about 3 or 4 in the morning. So we technically run 22 hours of programming, like within a day. So 22 hours were the programming slots, and that was a little much. So we actually changed it because we have, over the past couple of years, less and less people staying until 3 in the morning to watch stuff in our room for our video programming. So this year we're doing a kind of like adults-only programming for Doctor Who British media. So we're calling it...
Not what I thought it was. Okay, never mind. Go on.
Yeah, no, it's what you think it is. We're doing, it's called Brick Track After Dark. Again, it's After Dark programming for the Brick Track. And some of the topics are very risque. I'm pretty excited about it because I think that it'll be pretty interesting. Some of it will, it'll be interesting. One of them is Anglophile dating tips. So how to date when you're an Anglophile. I know it should be a very awkward conversation.
Okay.
We also have sex and sexuality in British media, so that will be a panel where we talk about the sexual dynamics found in Doctor Who, Sherlock, Skins in the flesh, and you know what that says about sexuality. So that's going to be a panel. That should be pretty good. That is adults only. We will card at the door. we also have a panel on romance in Doctor Who. So looking at the romantic relationships in Doctor Who. That's on Saturday, tentatively scheduled. And then on Saturday at like 11:30, we're going to be doing, and I don't know if I want to even be anywhere near the room when this panel happens, to be completely honest. but I might have to be. It's... British media, Tumblr, and fan fiction.
I was just about to ask if anyone could bring their fan fiction to any of these. So yes, I guess apparently, yes.
Yes, they can. So the description reads like this. A focus on the dark side of British media fandom. Well, erotic fanfic.
There are already fan fiction panels, so yeah.
Tumblr, OTP, shipping, which I don't even know what shipping is, and things that we think about but we don't discuss. So basically, that's the panel.
That is very interesting. So all that happens like after 9 or 10?
After 10 o'clock. So okay. There will be somebody carding at the door because it is very explicit conversation. So that's just on the first two were on Friday. The last two are on Saturday. And then our final set of Brit Trek After Dark programming is on Sunday. And that's at 10 o'clock, starting with Gay Scenes and Doctor Who. And then followed by a panel in which I am going to sit on. And I feel like somebody might like either get punched or they might get yelled at some point. Or the panels might even hate each other after they leave the room, to be completely honest. The panel is titled Bad Wolf or Bad Rose. And we look at the most beloved and hated character of Doctor Who. And so it's a team of people who are Team Rose and people who are Team Anti-Rose who are going to be arguing.
I swear, I'm sorry I can't be at that panel. I know my Monday is already booked, but oh, do I wish I could be there.
Yeah.
Oh, I so wish. Sorry. I still get in arguments with my child over that, so.
Oh, yeah, no, I will strongly admit, and you will hear it from me now, so get prepared for it, that I am extremely anti-Rose, so it will be very interesting to see what kind of conversation comes out of this, and I know that some of the people on the panel are extremely in love with Billy Piper and with the whole Rose character, and they think that Rose saved Doctor Who fandom, and it's going to be really
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give an opinion on that. I didn't. That was just a noise on my microphone.
So I cannot. I'm very excited.
It should be a very, you know what? It should be a very interesting panel, and it should get a lot of people awake on Monday morning.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a very sobering experience. I have a feeling that even though the panel is scheduled for 11:30 and it's only supposed to go an hour, that I might let it go longer just because it's such a hot topic that it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. So our late night programming is going to be really good. So if people, you know, aren't, you know, wanting to go to a party or if they just want to go to some really good conversational panels, that it's the place to be. I definitely would say that.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So who do you have as guests this year? I haven't really looked. And I know you said you'll probably get some added at the end. But I've looked at the guest list, but I can't remember anything at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We are very, very excited to have, we do have a doctor this year. We have Colin Baker, who's going to be at the convention. He's going to be doing, hopefully, one panel a day over the course of the weekend. We have one idea for a panel that I'm really excited that we are trying to get approved and figure out how we're going to do. But if it works out, which would be awesome, it'd be a really great panel. We're going to do a greatest hit panel where Colin will show clip his favorite clips of scenes that he's done and then fan favorite clips, and then he'll comment on the scene. So it's not a traditional live video commentary. Instead, it's like clips of his entire stint on Doctor Who. So that's one thing that we're really looking forward to and is in the work. We can talk about because it's something that's, you know, being considered. I don't know if it'll happen, but it'd be really cool if it did. So Colin Baker is coming and we're really excited about him. We also have the Ken Spivey Band, which is a Doctor Who steampunk band. And they will be performing for us. And they do a whole little live show. It's a lot of fun. It's in the afternoon. I'm trying to pull up what time it is, but my schedule is really big. it is at Sunday at 4 o'clock. So that should be worth definitely seeing them. They're a great band. They're music's really great. We also have Davey Bocamp, who is a writer, and he will also be hopefully doing some panels with us, pending his, you know, whole guest approval status. And then Veronica Belmont is also a writer for Doctor Who, Doctor Who stuff, not on the actual show, but like on blogs and stuff like that, and does some novel writing and that and the like. We also have Keith DeCanado, who is a writer who does Doctor Who related writing, who also will be there. So it should be pretty good. We also have a lot of industry people. I think there's more industry people this year that I've used than I think I've ever used in the past.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of people. I'm very excited that one of our panels is titled Ask the Expert. So if you're a Doctor Who fan and you had a burning question about something, even the most obscure stuff on Doctor Who, we have a panel of people who consider themselves experts that will answer your question. So that's one of our panels that we're doing for Doctor Who related content this year. So our guests are mostly predominantly, you know, we have one media guest, and then most of them are attending professionals. But we're really still really excited about them and the work that they've done.
That's going to be awesome, though. I mean, I think that's just going to be, it's still going to be fun. And that's always the fun thing, folks. And remember, as we said, that's just what's listed right now. So don't remember, keep watching. Keep watching and keep listening, because we'll list out some names after I realize some of the names that are listed on the list. Like, you know, Gunn, a director, major director. Okay, sorry.
So how was your con last year? What came out of con last year that it really surprised you or was, you know, just particularly awesome?
I think the Doctor Who Ball was really crazy. We only were in the room for like 2.5 hours. And in the 2.5 hours we were in there, you know, it's supposed to be just a quick little like, yay, celebration kind of thing. And we had a huge line at the door. You know, the fire marshal was there, which could be a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. And he was helping turn the room over. We had about 4,000 people just in the room. And we didn't even have a large ballroom for that party. It was one of the smaller ones, but it was packed. So that was really, really successful. All of our guest programming and our guests last year were just amazing. You know, Noel Clark was incredible to have, and along with our doctors and our other companions, and the Torchwood cast was just amazing. So it's been very fortunate blessing last year. We had some amazing guests. So it was a lot of fun. I will say that it was really crazy, and we had a lot of Doctor Who programming because it was the 50th anniversary. So the biggest change that people who are fans of BritTrack will probably notice is that there's not going to be as much. There's still a lot, but there's not going to be, you know, 6 to 7 panels per day just related to Doctor Who. So that'll be a little bit of a shake and shock for people. And I've hold off on...
No, there's a dog.
Hey, puppy!
It's my new puppy. I know. She's only like 9 weeks old. Sorry.
No. Please. It's fine. We like puppies.
Yeah, she's sweet. But yeah, so last year was good. We had a really, really good year. But I think that I'm waiting for the complaints. when I publish my programming, I'm going to do it on Friday. I'm going to put up my tentative list of programming, wait for all the emails.
So,
hey, there's only so much time in any day, folks. There are only so many rooms and so much time. Okay, sorry, go.
Speaking of rooms, so because we haven't mentioned this yet, whereabouts are you located?
Our track room is still in the Sheridan at in the room Macon. So when you walk in the front doors of the Sheridan, you hang the first right and you keep walking where the last door that you can get to on that hallway. And then most of our other large ballrooms are looking like they're going to be in the Hilton and in the Sheridan, with a few going on in the Marriott. But we're still in the same room at the Sheridan. We like the Sheridan there. They're good folks over there. So That's where we're located.
The Sheraton are very good folks.
Yes. They're very nice. Very attentive. Yeah.
Sweet. So, as far as this year, I know that we talked a little bit about all your tracks, all the things that are going on your track. What are you looking forward to that might be outside of your track that you, yeah, that you might get to go see?
Last year was the first year I went to the parade, actually, ever, and I've been working on staff for like 15 years. So I really want to make it to the parade because I had so much fun when I went, and I didn't realize how like awesome it was until I actually went last year. And so one of the things I'm trying to do is to make it over there and actually, you know, get a chance to do that. And really, to be completely honest, I haven't really looked that much at other people's programming. I know that there's a few you know, topics or that I really want to see. And I'm sure my husband will drag me to a few panels and be like, you need to see this because I know you would like this and because he's wonderful like that. So, but I really have been so knee deep in my own programming this year that I haven't actually peeked at anything else, to be completely honest. But mostly going to the parade, I'm personally really excited about. So, and then also
the parade's
seeing
always fun.
Oh, yeah. And
the parade is always fun, is what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then also seeing the what they're going to do. I know that they might be changing up the way that they do things for the vendors at the America's Mart or Apparel Mart. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do over there. Because last year, it was interesting.
Yes, it was interesting. We've talked about that a couple of times here, but... my understanding, and someone can correct me, is that there is a lot of area for improvement there, and the folks behind the scenes understand that, and they're going to put up more signage to kind of help people
yes.
figure out where everybody is, and more. I think it was even put on their Facebook page that they will be putting more what do you call those things? The helper people from information booths.
Info services.
Yeah,
there are
going to
be more info services people there. There is going to be more signages, and not just signage like this, you know, booth 102, but actually the name of the vendor.
Yeah.
And supposedly there might be a small description of what the vendor does in the pocket program, but please don't hold me to that because that might have just been a fever dream or something about Dragon Con because I'm in Dragon Con dreaming now.
Okay, so cool. So
very cool.
Now you do normally get away to go over to at least once to the vendors though, right, Kara?
Oh yeah, I actually set aside a block of time to do the things like go to the parade and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I work that into my schedule, and I kind of play tag team with the track with my second in command, who's amazing, absolutely wonderful. We've been working together for about 14 years, and he's just so great. So we have this ability to kind of, you know, bounce off, and I can say, hey, for the next 4 hours, I am MIA. If you need anything, talk to him. And I can go hide at the convention for 4 hours and do things like take a nap.
Nap?
Jeez. Oh, yeah.
Trust me, I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you run as late as we do, I mean, Friday night, our party goes till 3 a.m. And it might end sooner depending on how the party happens. And then our second party with MMO, they're no longer MMO, the video gaming track.
Right,
excuse me.
Video gaming. Yep.
Video gaming. I feel like they have a new name every year.
I think he's going to try.
I just got used to Morphka, so I'm very upset.
Well, that's why. That's why they changed it. He found out that you knew.
That's what he does. All this just to make the short people crazy.
I know he does. He really does. And you know, we've been doing that party for the past couple of years with Kevin and with the video gaming track. So it should be really cool doing that. But that party also goes till 3 o'clock in the morning. So if I can get a nap in the middle of the day, I'm a happy camper.
That's the hero and villains ball, right? Or what's it? Hero,
yep,
it is,
Heroes
it is called
Villains.
Heroes and Villains. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was. I wasn't sure if
it
had a different name. Okay, cool. Yeah, so
you just talked to him.
Yeah, I know. Shut up. I got it. I know.
I'm just saying. Okay, so you said your husband often says you have to go to this because I think you'll like it. What do you think he's going to try to drag you to this year?
Probably anything, probably Falling Skies. Anything related to Falling Skies.
It's a cool show.
Yeah, I haven't really watched the last season, but he really loves it, and I know that I've seen it in bits and parcels. We both watch Game of Thrones and True Blood, so I think that we'll probably be, you know, going to anything related to that. And recently he's gotten me into watching anime, which I'm really not a fan of. I found a few shows. He's been like, you'll like this. This is something you'll like. And I've been watching a few things here and there. So if there's anything related to any of the anime I've been watching lately, I think I might sneak and go to it. Just because it's a brand new, you know, genre of world for me that I've not really dived into before, and I'm enjoying it. So probably all of that for the most part.
Well, what I've always heard about anime and manga is that, you know, the first one's free and then it'll cost you the rest of your 401k because then you start getting into it and buying and enjoying too much. Yeah.
I know. Well, pretty much I'm on the Netflix kick right now and Crunchyroll. Other than that, you know, I've always read a lot of manga and like read, you know, a lot and, but I've never really watched anime before. I think it comes from my love of comic books. My first love of in geekdom is comic books. My second love is all the things track related. So
I'm now also reading comic books. So what are you reading right now?
I was reading Transmetropolitan, which is the Warren Ellis series. I fell in love with his writing a couple years ago, and so I'm rereading it right now. And I'm working my way through Captain America. So I've read the first volume of it, and I'm waiting for my second volume to come in so I can start reading that. But I was a huge Silver Surfer fan, like huge when I was a kid.
Oh. Good to know.
Yeah, Silver Surfer and X-Men, I was like addicted when I was a kid, and I stopped reading a lot of it because it kind of got weird. So. Yeah.
I'm actually reading She-Hulk right now. Also, The Secret Avengers, which I am adoring. And there's actually a new X-Files comic that I swore I wasn't giving them any more money, but I lied. And I'm reading it and loving it, too. So, yeah, Season 10 X-Files is also really good. If you are ever into X-Files, this does better than Season 9, folks. I swear. So... That's what I say about it. So cool. Very cool. Very cool. All right, John, I asked my question. Your turn now.
All right. Well, why don't we ask the last question? Yeah, sure. Okay. So I may have asked this question last year, so I'm not sure. But if you had to, I'm going to ask you a two-part question. Get rid of any doctor in the Doctor Who universe, who would it be? And then if you could bring back any doctor to be on Top Gear, who would it be?
So if I could get rid of any doctor at all for Doctor Who?
Yes.
Okay.
And you have to get rid of one, and it's a doctor. You have to get rid of a doctor, not a companion. Oh,
I don't know. That's a really hard one. Hey, stop it.
Are any of the actors not with us anymore? Have they passed on yet?
they all serve their own purpose, but you know, in their own way. And I think it would probably be a toss up for me. For classic series, I think I probably would get rid of maybe Patrick Troughton. I'm not a huge fan of his stories. I tend to skip through them when I do go through and watch them. So probably get rid of Patrick Troughton from classic series. And honestly, when you first asked me that question, my first thought was Matt Smith. And that's because I am actually not a huge fan of his. I like the work that he did. I have a few episodes here and there that I like, but overall, he's not one of my favorites. So
see, he was my first doctor, so it's different for me.
Yeah, it's. I mean, your first doctor is always going to be the one that you kind of gravitate towards. Mine was McCoy, so like McCoy was my doctor. But when Matt was
so sweet, anyway, you have to love him.
Yes, he's a lovely, so such a wonderful person. But Matt Smith just—it took me a long time to even tolerate him at one point. To be completely honest. And
were you a Tennant fan?
I was a fan of Tennant. I really liked Eccleston in the short time that he was on there. I liked Tennant early on. I felt like the writing kind of lost his character a little bit towards the end, and it took me almost an entire season to like Matt Smith, or to at least be like, he's okay. I'm not in love with the man by any means, but, you know, I think that he did a good job, you know, for what some of the episodes he was given. I also think that he was given a lot of people to play opposite that were fantastic, and that made me like him a little bit more. I didn't really start to, I didn't really start to think, hey, this guy's actually the doctor until, like, Vincent and the Doctor.
Oh, okay, probably, yeah.
Was probably the episode where I was like, all right, okay, I can buy into it. He's all right. But Tony Curran is amazing. And hypothetically, tentatively, we might have a panel with him. So
Very cool.
Hopefully that works out. And he, you know, he's one of the most well-known one-off companions of the new series. So I really, really, I just want to meet him and be like, you were amazing.
But yeah, you made me cry repeatedly, you bastard. Yeah. I sobbed through that whole episode. Yes. John has no idea what we're talking about.
But. No, I have absolutely no idea.
Every time I watch that episode, I cry. And it's one of the few of the new series that where I know it's going to happen, but I cry anyway.
They could not have picked a better actor to play Vincent, and just the whole episode just had so much punch throughout the whole thing. So
the writing hit home for me. The entire episode was just, it was really where I was like, all right, Matt Smith, you're not bad. And then slowly, you know, other episodes started kind of grappling me and making me interested in him, but it took a while. And I also think that what killed it for me for him was that when the pictures first came out, was at Dragon Con. Like, during Dragon Con, his costume images were released, and it was the buzz, you know, of Doctor Who for that year was what he looked like. And people were even, like, cosplaying as him that weekend. There's a few people here when his outfit first came out. Some random person, I don't know who it was, made a comment about how he looked kind of emo and whining. And it just stuck with me.
You know, I can actually see how somebody would say that. I can say that. Yes.
It stuck with me, like, grumpy and complaining and whining and everything's always wrong and why do I have to fix it? And this kind of whiny attitude, like, it just, the whole idea behind it kind of stuck with me. And I guess maybe that's part of the reason why it took me a long time to kind of be like, really? This guy? And I think also it had to do with the fact that I've been a classic series Doctor Who fan. So watching Doctor Who in its classic series, and then here's this young guy coming in, and he's very young, younger than Peter Davison was when he played, you know, the Doctor. And
I didn't realize that. Okay.
And, you know, here's a really, really young kid playing the Doctor, even though he's practically around my age, probably a little bit older. But it still was just hard for me to kind of digest, I guess. So I get rid of him and then put on Top Gear.
Yeah. So who would you have be? I wanted to clarify that. Who would you have be a host? And I guess then who would you have him replace?
On Top?
Yes.
Oh God, I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
Clarkson, May, and Richard.
Who's the one with the shaggy white hair?
That would be May. That would be James May.
Okay, I replaced him. Okay. And I replaced him with John Pertwee.
Really?
Because I think that would be really funny.
That would be very different, yeah.
Can you imagine him walking in with his, like, pomp and circumstance and, like, ruffles and, like, his sword and just, like, it would be hilarious. I think it would
Let's talk about the differences between the Fiat 500 and the Mini Cooper. Yeah, that would be, with a lot of ruffles and flounces, that would be pretty awesome. Yeah,
I see that. Nice. I'd watch it.
So, Kara, how can people get a hold of you or find out more information about your track?
They can go to Robert Bowen. No, I'm just kidding.
And Robert's direct phone number is... No, I'm joking.
His email.
They can go to our website, which is british.dragoncon.org. We are a subpage on DragonCon's main page, so you can find us through there. They can also find us on pretty much every single social media that within reason that we can be on. We have a live journal, a Facebook, a Twitter, a Tumblr, a Flickr. We still have a Yahoo group that we actually use.
Wow, really?
Yes, oh. We actually do use it. There are a lot of, BridgeRock has an older crowd of fandom, and they're not on Facebook, they're not on Twitter, they're not on Tumblr, they're not on this stuff. So a lot of our news goes to that group through the Yahoo group, which has been around for like 16, 17 years before I was even on staff.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems like the DragonCon Yahoo group has kind of the general group has sort of like fizzled out. I mean, I'm looking at the number of posts the other day. This time of the year is when my email would usually be blowing up, but from the regular updates or whatever, and I've gotten nothing. It's like that. Yeah. It's dead. They've all moved over to Facebook from the DragonCon page or Tumblr.
They've even
something.
Moved to Facebook or Twitter. I mean, Twitter. I think a lot of people are getting their links from Twitter now too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big time. And I think that that we started to try to like not post anything to see if it would die. And then like I'd get four emails from someone and, you know, from different people on there, post on the Yahoo group of, you know, hey, is there any new information? And I'm like, man, this thing's never going to die.
Well, I just want to tell you that, especially because of your fandom, how long it's been around, just because of other very small cons I've gone to where they've talked about fan fiction, I will bet you that some of your fans bring in the actual, when they used to like type them and like mail them around, they'll be bringing in some of those copies or the old bound copies. I bet they will.
I would love to see some of that stuff. Some of the stuff is very interesting. So
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I mean, there's, I know, especially in prose, which is also British media, and the professionals, that was a big, I went to a con one time and they were talking about that, about during the typing out of the prose fiction, and they would be mailing them to each other in, you know, brown envelopes. And I'm like, wow, I can't, how in the world did you guys ever find each other? And they're like, you went to sci-fi conventions and then you quietly said, oh yeah, I write fan fiction too. And then you would share it, and you'd make up your own little groups. I'm like, awesome. Yeah,
Doctor Who episodes in Atlanta used to be like that. There are a few people. I can't remember his name. Oh, he's going to kill me and remember in like 10 minutes. And he had a friend who lived in England who would record it and then mail him the episode, and then everyone would get together at his house and they would watch it. Mm-hmm. And the only way you would know about it is if you went to your local comic book store and they had flyers in all the comic book stores of when like they were going to be, he would drive around and drop flyers off at all of the local comic book stores so that people would know they could come and watch Doctor Who. And this is like pre like showing it on PBS, like all of that. He had like the hookup. He actually had to transfer the region code from one tape to another tape just so they could watch it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, now you can simulcast it if you want to. You can actually, like, you can get, there's like a, I can't remember what the service is called, but you can actually get a box from England that will hook into your own television, and you can watch like live feeding of British television if you want in your house. So, yeah, it's kind of how crazy how far we've come.
That's kind of amazing, but no, thank you. Okay.
So, Carol, I appreciate you taking the time out. And as I say to all of our directors and anybody that volunteers, thank you so much for putting on a great show. And we look forward to seeing you. Again, where's your track room one more time?
It's in the Sheraton. The room is called Macon. It's on the first floor right when you walk in. So you just have to come in and hang a right when you enter the hotel.
Sweet. So, again, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. This is John for Caro and Lee saying until next time, don't panic.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.
Thank you, Rob.
What was that?
Mine was supposed to sound kind of like the screwdriver, but I didn't do a good job. I don't have a soundboard unlike other people. I just have my old Toshiba laptop.
But it wasn't a Toshiba laptop that did that. It was you.
Can you can you do that again?
Try it again.
No.
Okay, I've got a new soundbite for the soundboard. Okay, cool.
Shut up. I hate you so much. I hate